You know, on Easter Sunday, shifting gears, I always ask the same question. If you've been here before, you know that I've asked it. I always ask whether you've lost a loved one to death. And I usually say, you know, in the last year, if you've lost someone, please rise. In the last 2 years, please rise. 3 years. And then 10 years, 20 years. The point is this. Every single person ends up standing. From our youngest child, our youngest among us, to the eldest of our elders, not one of us hasn't experienced the awesome and terrible power of death. Whether you've lost a family member, or a friend, or a colleague, or a beloved pet, death's singular power is to divide and separate us from the people that we love. And it is an awesome and terrible power that it has. Today is All Saints Sunday. We tend to call it Memorial Sunday here at Christ Church. And we remember those saints among us. And I'm so thankful for those of you family members and friends that were able to come forward to light a candle in memory of your loved ones. And we remember those persons that have been separated from us by death. We grieve their loss. You know, I heard tears and sniffling, and I'm right there with you. That is okay as a person of faith to grieve. It really is. We must remember that even Jesus, he grieved the death of one of his friends, Lazarus. He wept for Lazarus, even though he demonstrated his power over death by raising him from it. And today, as in Easter Sunday, we remember, though, that death doesn't get to have the last word. For our God, the God of life, has been so moved by death that God would give God's only beloved Son to conquer death through resurrection, that it might never have the power ultimately to separate us and divide us from those that we have loved. On this morning, we grieve, we celebrate, but because of resurrection, we look forward to a time when death will be no more, when God will wipe away every tear. Here, in the worship of Christ, we bring our grief to Christ's table this morning, where we find a foretaste of the feast to come. The three scriptures that Dick read for us this morning, they look forward to a time when death will be a distant memory. Our Hebrew lesson from the prophet Isaiah basically is a vision of the end of days, the last days, where the Lord gathers all of God's people on this holy mountain and prepares for them the sumptuous feast, rich foods beyond their imagination. Hearing it about these bone marrow and several times over strained wines, this is not like you're getting the rail drinks or something like that. This is the good stuff. This is the good fat stuff too. And feasts in the Old Testament, if you're not aware of this nature, these are victory feasts. These are feasts that a king would have after a battle would be won. And in our scripture, we're hearing that a battle has been won. But it is the people's feast. And God is preparing the meal. God is the one working in the kitchen. God is the one serving the meal. God is the wait staff. After God's battle with death and victory over death, God serves God's people. God wipes away their tears. And death is destroyed at last, forever. Our gospel lesson from Luke also talks about and looks forward to a time when death will be no more. Jesus preaches a sermon from a level place, from a plain. And it may sound like Little House on the Prairie when Jesus is giving his sermon from the plain, but it really is not. Plains in the New Testament, in the Bible, they're places of uncertainty. They're places of chaos. They're places of the wilderness. And in his preaching, he names from the plain certain people as blessed. And the Greek word that he uses basically means unburdened. Blessed is a very churchy word, and in some ways it kind of has lost meaning. But he says, unburdened. Unburdened are those who are truly burdened by the world. He tells of how the poor, the oppressed, the hated persons, they haven't received their reward yet, but in due time they will get their reward in the life beyond. So unburdened are they. But yikes, but woe to those who are rich and satisfied and those who are respected, because they have already received their portion. They must enter into true solidarity with those who find themselves destitute or underfed, in mourning and vilified, or else woe to them. Woe to those who refuse to risk that solidarity with God's blessed. Jesus looks forward to a time when death will be no more, but a time that shows us what the kingdom will look like, where the first will be last and the last will be first. And in our final lesson today, from our New Testament reading of Revelation, we hear from John. And John is a living martyr. He's been exiled onto an island called Patmos. And John writes his letters of apocalyptic visions. And in this particular one, he writes of the new heaven and the new earth, a time at the end of times. And apocalyptic literature is really what this is. It's not an end in and of itself. It's not just to say the end, slam the book shut, we're done, end of the story. But in a sense, we hear of John forecasting and looking forward to a time when the operating system of the world, so to speak, like on a computer, is restarted. Kind of like hitting control alt delete. John sees that after this cosmic restart, after all kinds of destruction and upending of worldly powers has completed, God will live fully with God's people. God will live among them. God will have them at God's banquet, in God's holy temple, with God's people. And in doing so, mourning and despair and pain will have been eradicated forever. And we hear the beautiful line again, God will wipe away all the tears from our eyes, and there will be no more sorrow or pain or mourning, for these first things have themselves died away. Feasts and forecasts of the life to come and foretastes of God's victory, they are the hallmark of the scriptures we hear about this morning and of this day that we share together. When we remember our loved ones, we look forward to that time. And today, as we celebrate a meal together, gathered at Christ's table, we hearken to the meal envisioned by the prophet Isaiah, that victory feast, and we receive a foretaste of the life to come, where God's self will wipe away every tear, and death will be no more. So my prayer for us this morning as we celebrate our loved ones and we remember them at Christ's table is that we can take this to heart today. That we can remember that ours is a God that has been so profoundly moved by death. And we can remember that even though death is strong, it never gets the last word. How then shall we live with the knowledge that death doesn't get to win in the end? I will leave that up to you to decide. Amen.